Albert Einstein said two things are infinite: the universe and human stupidity. And I'm not sure about the universe. And now some experts aren't even sure how infinite infinity is. Early next month, 5,000 of the best mathematicians in North America will get together in Atlanta for the annual meeting of the American Mathematical Society. One of the items on the agenda is a panel discussion that asks the infinite question: how many numbers are there? That discussion will be moderated by our own math guy, Keith Devlin. He joins us now from Stanford University in Palo Alto. Keith, thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Scott. Infinitely many best wishes to you for the holiday season.
And also to you. So, I mean, just to get a beat on the mathematicians, how many numbers are there?
It depends which kind of numbers you're asking.
Oh,
There's obviously
I should have counted on you for all kinds of rationalizations. It depends on what
It
is or
depends
what a
on what
number is, yeah.
it depends what is, right? Yeah. I mean, the simple answer that most people would buy and be happy with is that there are infinitely many of them. The counting numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, etc. They go on forever. But right at the end of the 19th century, a German mathematician called Georg Cantor said, "Look, if you're going to accept infinity, and mathematicians have to because a lot of mathematics involves the infinite, then you've got to accept the fact that there's not just one infinity, there's a whole infinite number of different infinities." In fact, he introduced a whole system of numbers, infinite numbers, for counting infinite collections, just as we've got the numbers 0, 1, 2, 3, etc., for counting finite collections. We have another system of numbers, Aleph 0, Aleph 1, Aleph 2, etc., Aleph being the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, that you can use to count infinite collections.
I have a hard time getting hold of the difference between infinite numbers and I ordinarily, I guess you'd call them regular numbers. I mean, for example, I mean this absolutely seriously, is Aleph, which you say is first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, is Aleph 2 plus Aleph 2 4?
No, and one of the weird things about infinite numbers is their arithmetic is very different from finite arithmetic. In fact, it's much easier. If you take any two infinite numbers and you add them together, the answer is just the bigger of the two. And if you multiply any two
So
infinite numbers together,
Aleph 2 plus Aleph 2 is Aleph 2.
right. And if Aleph 2 times Aleph 2 is Aleph 2, if you multiply infinite numbers, you also just get the bigger of the two.
To what degree is this just an intellectual exercise among mathematicians?
When Cantor first introduced it, the mathematical community thought that it was. They thought he was some kind of a 19th century New Age weirdo and that this was just playing silly games. But it turns out that an awful lot of mathematics that we depend upon in the real world, when you start to unravel it and look at what makes it work, you get into infinite collections. Calculus that Newton and Leibniz invented in the 17th century, which is the basis for almost all science and engineering and a lot of modern technologies and medicine, calculus is all about the infinite. In fact, Cantor's work was spared by trying to understand in a deep sense what makes calculus work.
If there's an infinite number of numbers, does that say something about the nature of the universe?
I mean, there's this big question in physics. First of all, is the universe infinite, or is it, as I think it was Monty Python said, just very, very big? But in fact, there's a deeper sense in which infinity arises in physics, because the equations that describe matter and the universe, they give infinite solutions. And physicists have to constantly wrestle with how to get around the fact that their basic equations give infinite answers. And in some sense, an infinite answer is no answer at all. String theory, for example, this new theory of matter, was invented specifically to avoid having to deal with infinities.
When you moderate this discussion, are there going to be different sides, different factions in an infinity debate?
Oh, indeed, there are. In fact, there was some very interesting work in the 1960s. My own colleague here at Stanford, Paul Cohen, proved that relative to the usual system of axioms that we base mathematics on, you simply cannot answer the question how many real numbers there are. So what Paul Cohen did, and he won a Fields Medal for this work in 1963, was show that if we take mathematics as being the way we define it today, the question how many real numbers are there simply cannot be answered. However, there are quite a few mathematicians around who say that simply means we have to extend what we mean by mathematics. We have to extend our understanding of mathematics. And so there really are two factions, or at least two factions. There's a faction that says Paul Cohen put an end to it, that's the end of the story. Then there are two groups of people who argue for different answers to the question how many real numbers there are, and they have different approaches for how we might go about answering that.
Keith?
Yep.
I'm afraid our conversation, though, does have a limit.
As always, although I think many of our listeners sometimes think that we tend to go on forever.
Yes, indeed. Well, my part of it at any rate.
Always a danger with a mathematician.
Well, wonderful talking to you again. Happy holidays. Okay. Keith Devlin, Executive Director of the Center for the Study of Language and Information at Stanford University. You know, that the title we have to give you is almost infinite, isn't it? I run out of breath sometimes.
I'm afraid it is.
Thanks very much.
Okay, thanks, bye.